We're joined in the studio this morning with Carolyn Henry, who's the Chief Assistant Prosecutor with the Livingston County Prosecutor's Office, also with Janice Carpenter, who's the victim advocate for the prosecutor's office. And we're talking about National Crime Victims Rights Week coming up April 18th through the 24th. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us here in the studio, John.
Carolyn, let's start with you. Normally, the prosecutor's office has been able to put together a formal gathering, a banquet to sort of highlight crime victims and those in the law enforcement community and elsewhere who help victims out, providing them with resources and access and things like that. Unfortunately, COVID has forced the cancellation of that now for a second year, hopefully the last year. So we're trying to highlight at least those efforts because they continue regardless.
Correct, yes. And certainly it brings awareness to our community, and we wanted to come up with alternatives to continue to bring awareness to Crime Victims' Rights Week. We've had to think outside of the box going forward during this pandemic year, and we've come up with some wonderful ideas. I know Janice and her team at the Livingston County Prosecutor's Office has come up with some various ideas, and I'm excited to have her share those with you.
We have done placemats for local restaurants throughout Livingston County, promoting National Crime Victims Week to give victims the opportunity to bring awareness of local agencies that will partner with them, such as La Casa, Sexual Assault Recovery Assistance, Livingston Family Center, Mental Health Crisis Center, and the Youth Connection Services Center. We're trying to let people know that not only are these services available for them, but we'd like their families to know that if they need to reach out to us for help, we're there for them as well. Oftentimes, victims are afraid to come forward, so we want to give them several opportunities and avenues to do that.
And so I think there's probably a large contingent of the public that isn't even aware that your position exists. You know, I think they think of the prosecutor's office as criminals get prosecuted, end of story, and
Correct.
That there is this other avenue in which the victims of these criminals are also being, attended to.
We have victims that we want to bring public awareness for domestic violence, sexual abuse, and elder abuse. The community is not often aware of that.
And, John, we're real fortunate to have the wonderful staff that we do at the Livingston County Prosecutor's Office, including our victim advocates that work there. Oftentimes, like you say, when people go through the court system, the attorneys handle it in more of a business-like fashion. When you're a crime victim, there are many, many emotions that take over, and our victim advocates are so wonderful in dealing with the crime victims that come through our office, where they can attend to any questions that they have. They go to court with them. They give them the supports that are necessary when we are in courts. They sit with them, and any questions that they have during the court process, they are able to answer those. They also take many calls and many letters, many emails from the crime victims. So we are so fortunate to have them as part of our staff.
Again, when we think about the court system, especially in a criminal proceeding, obviously the rights of the defendant are carefully tended to by their attorney, taken care of. And I think just through popular culture, watching various TV shows and movies and things, we're focused on that end of it. The fact that victims have legal rights as well that are also tended to, and that's, on the prosecutor's side.
That is correct, yes. And, statutorily there is a Crime Victims Rights Act that do provide various protections to our crime victims, restitution in particular. There also is in the statutory and the law that allows crime victims to address the courts when they want to make victim impact statements. So while we are very mindful of the rights that the defendants have in addressing the courts, we also are extremely mindful as well in protecting the victims' rights as we go forward in the court system.
So, Janice, as a victim advocate, I mean, if you can, just real quickly, kind of walk us through that process. When you're a client is referred to you, how do you approach it?
So, with the beginning of the case, we notify our victims via letter that the defendant has been charged and what they've been charged with. With that being said, we give them a pamphlet to fill out with their rights and inform them that their process and their voice in this criminal matter going forth is of utmost importance to us. We want to know how they would like to see the case fold out, whether they want jail for the defendant, if they need any type of assistance through La Casa, any resources such as that. We want to give them continued support regarding status of the case from the beginning of the charges to the sentencing, at the same time basically explaining the court process to them, the arraignment, the next court hearings, whether they're going to be subpoenaed, and being there for them to give them support while being in court.
Along those lines, is this just for victims of, say, violent crimes, or who's covered under this?
No, everybody is covered under it that is a victim of a crime, whether it's if they've had a mailbox that's been knocked over, they've been abused, if there's been fraud, you know, credit card fraud. Those are all considered victim cases, and we have different references that we would help support them with. The goal as our advocate is to reassure them that we are there to give them the sensitivity and support they need while remaining calm through the court proceedings and understanding all of them.
So, Carolyn, from the prosecution side, in the proceedings themselves, as a case progresses through the courts, how much, coordination is there with the victim advocate through the process of, you know, trying somebody and bringing justice to this case?
Sure, and that's a great question. I can say myself and our assistant prosecutors work hand in hand with our victim advocates. There is probably not a day that goes by where one of our victim advocates is not talking with one of our APAs, or that oftentimes when we do have or schedule conferences with victims, we'll meet with them to ask what type of direction they'd like the assistant prosecutors to take on cases. And oftentimes, you know, some of those are the toughest conferences to have because they may not agree with the decisions that our office makes, but we also want to give them the supports and give them the reasons why oftentimes we make the decisions that we have to make. Again, there's a lot of emotions that go into the court process when you are a victim of a crime, and sometimes there's lives that are lost. There's people that suffer some great trauma being a crime victim, whether or not it's a violent crime or a financial crime, but emotions definitely play a big part of it. So I think working with them hand in hand certainly helps our systems.
You know, I think contrary to popular opinion, I mean, most cases end up with a plea deal as opposed to going to trial. That's just the way the system works. Most defendants are offered a plea, and depending on the circumstances, obviously, they will or will not take that. But that would seem to be a spot where, you know, there would be a heavy consult with the victim advocate. If we offer this deal, is that going to, here's why we're offering it, this is what they're willing to accept, is that acceptable to you?
That is correct, yeah. We do have those meetings often in our office, and the victim advocates do attend those meetings with us. We do work with the victim advocates to just basically meet with them ahead of time to see what conversations that they've had with the crime victim or with the victims as well of crimes. And then myself and oftentimes Judge Reeder will attend these meetings as well. And we do get input with the victims prior to any pleas that are being made. It's, you know, not a perfect system. We'd wish that we could have more contacts than oftentimes our office has, but we really try to take into consideration going forward when any plea offers are made on cases.
So Janice, from your perspective, when that consultative process is going on, and one of your clients, one of the victims, is struggling to understand why the case is taking a particular turn or why it's going in this direction or why can't they just say what I want them to say, how do you approach that?
Well, we take their concerns into consideration and we ask them to let us proceed with our process and just trust us so that we can cover the legal aspect for them. We also want them to understand that what they say is important. There will be interaction from other family members, and they will be getting input from them on how they think that things should play out. We want them to understand that what they want matters the most, and that their feelings are the most important. The final process for them is to give them comfort and closure with whatever crime was committed towards them. And that's why we do meet with the prosecutor. We inform them, you know, exactly where they're going with this, and assure them that we will be there with them every step of the way.
Okay. And again, we want to remind people, National Crime Victims Rights Week, April 18th through the 24th. The Livingston County Prosecutor's Office on your, like on the website, on the county's website where the prosecutor has its page as well, there's several sections devoted to victims' rights, advocates, compensation, things like that, so people can get details there as well.
We give them the resources exactly on there that will give them information to apply for VINE if they want to find out when the defendant is going to be released from jail or prison.
And let's tell, what is VINE? Let's describe that.
Yep, it's called VINE Link. So VINE it Link. Is a it's an application or a program that people can go online. They can Google it. And you pick a state, and then you would have to just input some information. And it's designed to help crime victims know if somebody is incarcerated, if that person remains incarcerated, or if they've been released. If they remain incarcerated, it does let them know what particular jail they're being housed in.
So the services don't end at the adjudication of the case itself. Obviously, the perpetrator, if they end up serving time, the victim is still kept in the
Correct.
Loop in terms of, yeah.
We notify victims when we receive notification from Michigan Department of Corrections when that defendant is coming up for parole, so that they can be aware that he's getting back, he or she is getting back out into public. And in case they have any concerns, they can give us a call. We also play a big part in notifying victims when a defendant is filing an application to set aside a conviction. Oftentimes that's of concern to them. We want their input on whether they feel that that should be granted by our office or if it's something that they are contesting.
And I know part of the process is obviously one part that I think many of us see is like the victim impact statement at, say, sentencing when that comes out. I mean, what do you advise clients in terms of being able to, you know, sort of adequately express their concerns and feelings?
I advise them to be as honest as they can, not to be afraid to say anything, that they will get more closure and walk away from that knowing that they spoke their piece and they told that person that has committed that crime against them exactly how they feel. In all honesty, it will help with sentencing. The judge wants to hear from the victim. What the victim has to say is important. And there, it's times that it's a tearjerker. You know, you sit in the courtroom with the victims. They've been through some traumatic behavior, and you'll cry with them, and you want to see the best for them. So we just encourage them to be honest and just let us know exactly what they feel should happen to that person.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up, I mean, what other things do we want to emphasize, just final things to leave our listeners with?
Certainly. I appreciate it. Again, thank you. We want to thank you for having us in here to bring awareness to the National Crime Victims' Rights Week. I would also like to recognize the wonderful victim advocates that we have at the Livingston County Prosecutor's Office, the work that they've done just to bring awareness to this. I know Janice has talked about the placemats that you will see at the various local restaurants. Our office has also partnered with the Livingston Post, who ran a guest column to bring awareness to Crime Victims Rights Week. And we are also had requested the local schools, the elementary schools, to participate in an art project in doing some art projects that will be hung up at our office and possibly at other agencies as well, depending on the number of art projects that we do get. But bringing hope and kindness and just sending a message to the kids in the elementary school, but also bringing awareness to Crime Victims Rights Week.
Janice Carpenter is a victim advocate at the Livingston County Prosecutor's Office, and Carolyn Henry, the Chief Assistant Prosecutor. Thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.